Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom. Welcome to Late Night in the Word, an outreach ministry of Olive Branch Ministries International, based in Acworth, Georgia, just northwest of Atlanta. We're broadcasting over Blog Talk Radio right now for the next 30 minutes, and at the top of the hour, we'll switch over to our page over on Olive Branch, www.olivebranchonline.org. Our contact information is our phone number over Blog Talk is 347-850-1420. Once again, our phone number at Blog Talk is 347-850-1420. And at the top of the hour, we'll switch over to Olive Branch Ministries International phone number, which is 631-533-4099. We're looking forward to hearing your questions, your thoughts. Feel free to give us a call and join in on our study. But we're excited to get into our study. It's been a great week of study with Pastor. Our pastor at Olive Branch Ministries is Pastor Richard Weintraub, and this is a Hebraic Roots ministry. So without further ado, let's introduce everyone we have at in the studio tonight, full house. First, we'll start with Pastor Yahweh.
Shalom, shalom. Thank you. Who's to my left?
Shalom, shalom. It's Yaakov.
Happy Sukkot. And God bless you. Turn it to my left. Do-do-do-do.
Shalom, shalom. Avery Irvin.
And I'm Brandon Wheeler.
And Diego Cruz.
Shalom, shalom. Diego Cruz.
And this is Robert Rodriguez, and we're turning it over to Pastor Yahweh.
We haven't mentioned in a while, but Diego Cruz is the king of Honduras.
And we've got Joab Abimelech in the background over there. He helped get us set up before we got going tonight. So thanks, Joab.
So you were talking about this morning a little bit earlier there, Robert. I was wondering if you had a thought on that since it resonated.
Yeah, exciting messages, and it's really exciting, and it's a privilege to be taught up in the Word so that we could be active believers and not passive believers. We'd had that conversation last week, Pastor, about the church today and how many in the church today, it's just okay to, you know, get saved. And once they get saved, they go back to their lives, business as usual, and, you know, go to church once a week on Sunday. And the rest of the week, you know, if they just live their lives, and that seems to be okay. And I don't see anywhere in the scripture that it tells us that that's okay.
It's not.
So it's exciting and a privilege to be taught up and by such a dedicated pastor and teacher as Pastor Weintraub that pours his heart into the Word and pours his heart into us to train us up and disciple us. It's interesting how he was talking about the priesthood today. And I was just looking at a quote here real quick when I went silent. It said, the priest must be kept away from the ordinary. Our former self could not enter into the Holy of Holies. And that just resonated so much. And then, you know, just listening tonight to the Pope, and we were talking about that earlier as well. And it's just... Some denominations have taught Christianity to be so restrictive, and we do have liberty, we do have liberty as high priests. That's our role now as believers, to become priests. And this quote here: "The priest must be kept far away from the ordinary." that's why it's not okay for us just to live our lives the way we used to live them. We're a new creation. We're no longer the same person. No one should recognize us anymore. And because we're no longer the same person, that means we shouldn't take that old self into the Holy of Holies. And we can't. God won't recognize that.
Won't let it happen.
No. So it's exciting to get to learn the word and get it deep into our souls here, and to, you know, to chew on this, because this is all meat. This is not child food, baby food here. This is very strong meat here. It says here, we have been given the task of keeping the things of God holy, to guard the holy. And that's not something that's taught in the churches today.
No, you're talking about the very things that really punched me today, because people were talking about other different passages, but those two comments, they stopped me. Because, and we talk about holiness being something set apart or separated, but when he said that the priest's job is to stay out of what is ordinary, now as soon as you say ordinary, I immediately start looking at my life. What about my life is just regular living? That's just like everybody else. And the priest's job, because the presence of God is so holy, his job is to maintain that separation from the ordinary, not because of religious reasons, but because God is holy. And it puts a totally different perspective on it, a different vision on it than I think I've heard. And I don't think you can be a believer and sit and listen to that and just kind of walk away from it. At least that's my estimation of it anyway. And all of that does is it helps me understand the reason that we celebrate the biblical festivals. And having had some conversations this week, I understand completely that most church people, they talk about Israel, and they don't mind you discussing Sabbath or the festivals. If you were to ask them if they wanted to go see Israel, they would want to go. They would want to go on that trip and see it and then come back. But when you cross the line over into things that actually are going to impact the choices with how they live, how they relate to people, especially Jews, then all of a sudden things start getting real confusing. And we have to start running into theology.
Wow.
And the reason I believe that a lot of people run to theology is it because it's a protection from having to lay down your life and consider some things about what Jesus and Paul and Peter are really saying. Because I'm in full agreement with you, Robert. I do not believe that we were ever intended to get saved and stop. Getting saved and then arguing about sin the rest of your life is a waste of life. And there's so many denominations fighting with each other about how you get saved, when you get saved, what happens to you when you get saved, whether you got gifts, whether you don't have gifts, whether the Spirit saved you this way or saved, it's all circulating around your salvation. The fights that are in the denominations have to do with what you're doing with salvation and how you lead someone to the Lord and whether you did and whether you didn't, whether you lost it or you didn't lose it. And it's absolutely a travesty, in my opinion, because we never move to what you're talking about, what Pastor Weintraub taught this morning. Our role is a priest. And I would love to ask this question of the Gentile church who says you're not under the law.
when Peter uses the word priest in 1 Peter 2:5, and he calls us a priesthood, where do you get your definition of priesthood from? How in the world do you even understand what a priest is in the Bible if you're not under the law, if you don't have any reference point to the law? There's no way to understand it. If you're not willing to open up Leviticus and read what the requirements of the priesthood were, how are you ever going to understand what you are now?
You have absolutely no frame of reference whatsoever.
None. It's just a word. But I think that's the problem. I think a lot of us were trained. This is really distressing to me because I had a conversation yesterday, and the person I was talking to had more understanding of how to speak about their theology and very little understanding of how to connect scripture to scripture, and couldn't give me scripture. Can say things that the professors taught, but can't say the Bible teaches this in Matthew and this in Romans and this in Hebrews and this in Zechariah and this in Psalms and this in Judges and this in Genesis and this in Exodus. And it's all linked together this way, and this is how I have my understanding. Christians don't talk that way. We talk based on theological principles. Most people don't read their Bible. They don't take their Bible, and they're counting on the theology of the pastor to educate them enough to have a basic answer of what they believe. And then when you hear what they talk about and what they don't talk about, you realize we're in serious trouble. And the real problem is exactly what Pastor Weintraub was saying this morning. We have no understanding of how serious the holiness of God is, nor do we understand in any way, shape, or form our role as priests to keep that place holy and separate it from the ordinary. Now, for me, there's the argument out there from all these churches, all these people of God, and they want to go work in the world, and they think they have to evangelize everybody in the world. I'm not arguing that people don't need to be evangelized, but I have a certainty inside of me that the Holy Spirit never intended you to evangelize someone at the expense of holiness. It doesn't mean that if you're sitting in front of a Gentile and they put bacon on your plate, that you don't eat it. You eat it. It's not a big deal. It doesn't mean that you're unwilling to sit down across the table from someone who's a drug addict. But you're there as a priest to win someone to the Lord and also protect the holiness of the vessel. So do you participate with the drug abuse to win the person who's abusing drugs?
Absolutely not, God forbid.
No, because our job is to protect the holiness of God. I want to draw that person out of their unholiness into the holiness of God so that they walk upright. Mm-hmm. So that they now have an opportunity to walk in the light. And this is what I really think Peter's trying to establish in 1 Peter. I don't think he's satisfied with the Gentile mindedness of belief. You can't just come in and sit. And that's why we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And we have tackled a lot of things on this program, but I want to take us over to another verse that we've looked at, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Because 10:4 and 13 of chapter 1, 1 Peter, are saying similar things. Somebody read 2 Corinthians 10:4.
10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty
through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Okay, now somebody read 1 Peter 1:13.
Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end of for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
In 2 Corinthians 10:4, we're talking about imaginations, and imaginations are areas of the soul that are being stimulated to create, to imagine, to build false realities of life. And when I go read 1 Peter and I listen to what Peter's trying to say, he's talking about some very strong things, because he goes immediately after 13 into being holy as he is holy, referencing Leviticus 19:2, because it is written in verse 16, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then he, I want to move down to, let's see, verse 22.
Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth.
Stop right there. Why is Peter talking about purified souls? Why is he talking about purified souls? You have done this.
Because, how do we put this in the words? Purified souls. Now we're purified to be able to access God's throne to do the priesthood work that he's telling us about. And what you were talking about, like going to a person to witness to somebody. If we're a holy sanctuary, then we can bring the presence of God to the person we're trying to witness to. But if we're compromised, how can we bring God's presence to anyone?
You can't. And that's the mistake people are making, is the Holy Spirit is the one who communicates. And if we have uncleanness, the Holy Spirit is less able to communicate effectively. There's a verse 14, as obedient children, and this is an amazing phrase, not fashioning yourselves. The not. This means that you're supposed to be leaving behind what you once were. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. We had a pattern that we lived by, and in some ways, it's ignorance. We don't understand why we're on the earth, and we don't understand the war we're in. We don't understand the choices that come to us. Neither do we understand the events that transpire around us that are influencing us at every level. And so we're making choices, and those choices are coming in large part out of the lust of our own heart. And so we're making these choices, defiling our temple, and bringing unrighteousness in, and then we meet the Messiah. And everybody knows this story. Yeah, I got saved because I finally realized I'm a sinner. And I'm in my sin, I was destroyed. I was under Romans chapter 1:18. The wrath of God was being revealed against my unrighteousness. I was miserable. My life was in total destruction. And I hated myself, and I hated my life, and I needed deliverance. And then I met Yeshua, and he delivered me out of my life. And then I got plugged into the theological system, and it told me, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. And so I spend the rest of my life wondering about my sin.
Wow.
And I never really come to this conclusion. And Pastor Weintraub said this the other day, and I thought it was so absolutely correct. We spend a large amount of time in 2 Corinthians 10:4 in the imaginations of our own soul, creating all kinds of systems of thinking and excuses and rationalizations and thought processes and how in our just our intellectual system alone, trying to figure this out, trying to figure that out, worrying about this bill, that bill, clothes, food, cars, gas, whatever. Our minds are constantly being stimulated by the darkness to consider our own life. And yet here, right in this 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, if you're walking in obedience, you've stopped fashioning yourself after that program of lust inside of you that creates all of that tension in your mind. Once you stop, this is what Pastor said, if you stop those things, it doesn't make you super righteous. It just gives you more time to consider the other life you've been given.
Wow. And if we've been, if we've had the ignorance that caused us to be in lust removed, then like Psalm 23, we know that we're not in want. We can just be still and know that he's God and wait for the instructions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we've come to the end of our study on Blog Talk, so feel free to go ahead and join us over at the Olive Branch Ministries website, which is www.olivebranchonline.org. That's www.olivebranchonline.org. And the phone number over there is 631-533-5433.